So I keep telling you it's the summer, even though the evidence through your window is quite contrary to that. But it is definitely late June. We're heading into July, and it is quite possible that you've looked out your summer garb and perhaps some lighter shoes for the summer, waiting for it to dry out. And there's a danger here, and Alex Newton, the chiropractor, is going to tell you what that is. Shoes and what they can do to the rest of the body. It's not just what they do to your feet and your toes.
That's right. Shoes. Yes. Flip-flops particularly.
Oh.
Change the way we walk.
Yeah.
And in that, we have to grip the flip-flop as we're walking, which means we don't lift the foot up as high as we would when we're normally striding through. And in doing that, you change the angle of the ankle, which has a knock-on effect, not only obviously on the ankle, but on the knee and the hip and the low back. So wearing flip-flops for any distance, walking, staggering from the sunbed to the pool or back again, probably get away with that. But going a walk along the promenade or across the beach, you know, really think about putting some slightly more sturdy shoes on when you're on holiday.
But you do see that, don't you? People, I mean, even in the city centre, you see people on a Saturday afternoon doing their shopping in flip-flops when it's warm.
That's right, yes. And we're seeing a lot more foot problems. People think, oh, chiropractors don't treat feet. We're all about backs. But actually, we're seeing an increasing amount of foot issues at the clinic because of the way that people are wearing different types of shoes incorrectly or not monitoring them frequently enough to the extent that actually they are causing all sorts of problems. Mm. The dreaded plantar fasciitis, which we've talked about.
It's my favourite, that. Oh, I'm a slave to that.
Great if you can spell it. But it's, yeah, it's that's something we're seeing very, very frequently.
Which is an extreme pain in the sort of arch of the foot, isn't it?
It's heel, usually the heel, it affects the heel of the foot and then under the...
It's like a massive cramp sort of pain.
Yeah, it's even more than that, actually, because it's more of a burning sort of... it's a tendonitis, which is more of a burning pain. The thing is, with a cramp, it tends to be sort of more of a spasm. Right. So there's a slight difference there. But we see this plantar fasciitis more first thing in the morning, when people get up in the morning, while we're waiting for when you take those first few steps before the tendons have stretched out, or if you've been sitting for prolonged periods of time and then get up again, the feet have sort of shrunk, for want of a better word. The tendons have shortened while you're sitting or inactive, and it takes those sort of half a dozen steps to stretch that tendon out, and that's when it can be agony.
Right. So various things that we can discuss further here. Going back to the flip-flop, I mean, is there something that's a good alternative to a flip-flop, though? A range of sandals launched many years ago that claimed to be good for your feet?
It's all about the support. So if you think of the sort of common old garden flip-flop, then you've just got that little piece of plasticky rubber bit between the shoe, between the toe there. If you want sort of open toe type of sandals or a slip-on type of shoe, the more support across the top of the foot, there are various styles out there that have got sort of two or three or one wider straps across, so that you're having more support. It's all about the keeping the shoe on the foot is the key. So even sort of a simple pump or ballet shoe, you've got to work quite hard to get that shoe maintained on the foot. So if you're having to use a lot of muscles and activity there to keep the shoe on the foot, then that's when we start getting the tendonitis, and it starts changing the dynamics of the foot and how the foot is being used during the weight bearing phase.
Everybody has a favourite pair of shoes, I reckon, and when you put them on, you go, oh, I love this pair of shoes. So could a comfortable pair of shoes, could your favourite pair of shoes actually be doing no good for you?
Absolutely. Yes. Again, something else we see quite commonly. I've worn these shoes for years. Yeah. They've never given me a problem. Now we've got the plantar fasciitis coming in because they're wearing those shoes. And what we forget is that, you know, modern technology now with the synthetic type of soles allows the shoe to have a lot more mileage of wear in it. And we look at those soles and say, well, they're not worn out. They're absolutely fine. But what we forget is that the surround of the shoe, the bit that the foot actually goes into, is possibly losing its integrity. And if I may talk about children, it's the worst one there, because unfortunately, if my kids are the same as everybody else, as I'm sure, and I see it a lot with the children at the clinic, is that they slip their feet in and out of their either school shoes or trainers without undoing the lacets or the Velcro. And obviously that in itself is actually changing and destroying the structure of the shoe itself, to the extent that it's becoming looser and less supportive. And therefore, you know, we are now getting kids who aren't bothering to sort of do their laces up or their Velcro up every time, but just slipping shoes on and off. And then we've got to be quite mindful about that, because to do that, they've actually got to wear them quite loose. So then you've got a shoe that you're wearing that's slopping about periodically through the day. Again, too much movement there, trying to keep the shoe on, using lots of foot muscles, lots of tiny little muscles inside the foot there to help that foot function properly. And that's when they're storing up problems for later in life with their arches, and you know, we see the things like the bunions and all sorts of toe issues going on in there.
Hard to convince a 6-year-old that they need to do their shoes up, because otherwise they're going to...
Well, I think the way to do it is probably when they get home from school is when they slip their shoes off, because we all do that, don't we? But undo them before they put them on the next morning. So they've got to not only learn to tie those laces up, but they're actually being done up correctly and firmly to support the foot during the day. The other thing that's actually happening as well, which we see, is that brilliantly the schools are getting the children to be more active at school, and we've got this mile a day that actually creeped in over this last year, and absolutely fabulous getting the kids running around the playground 3 or 4 times during the day. But two things to be mindful of is that obviously there's no time. I mean, my daughter's training to be a primary school teacher, and she says, "Mum, you just can't get 30 kids to take their shoes off and put their trainers on in that short period of time that they've got to go and do that mile a day." So you've got to make sure that those shoes that they are wearing not only are done up properly, but they're perhaps more towards the sort of trainer type, where there's a little bit more cushioning, so that the kids running that mile aren't running in a shoe that could possibly give rise to ankle, knee and hip problems.
Certainly lessons learned early on in life are the ones that are likely to remain, and so if you can get children into good habits, then it's going to serve them well throughout the rest of their life. I'm Alan Clifford. Alex Newton with me at the moment, talking about posture and the impact that a pair of shoes can have on how you feel, how you walk. Just explain why this is so important. What's going on in terms of the body and how it's connected? Why does a pair of shoes make a difference to my back?
Because your feet are obviously supporting you from the floor upwards. And we are designed to be upright and walk on 2 legs. And every time you take a step, if that step isn't as perfect as it can be, it can affect the balance. It can affect the muscle tension within the calves, the thighs, and then obviously up into the buttocks and hips and into the lower back. So a simple thing, just like having a blister or a shoe that's actually just rubbing on your little toe and causing you to hobble for a little while, that hobbling can have a dynamic effect on the balance of the muscles, which can then lead to the perhaps the pelvis being out of line. And then the pelvis, as we've talked before, is the foundations for the spine to stand on, and the spine is a tower. So once your foundations have become twisted and taut, then you're going to have a knock-on effect throughout the rest of the spine. And as chiropractors, we always look at people's feet and how they are walking. We watch them walk in when they come in to see us. Sometimes if we need added analysis there, we'll get them to walk up and down the room to just see how their feet are functioning, and the knock-on effect that literally has that onto their knees and hips and everything else that's going on. So it's all about balancing. And if we can get you right from the feet upwards, then anything we do from the feet up can actually have a better effect, because there's no point treating the lower back if the feet or the knees or the ankles are wrong. So it's all about rebalancing and making sure that every step you take is the best one you can take.
It's an interesting thought that you would look at somebody walking and see how their feet, ankles, legs all sort of look, and you can see that, the person who's walking, it's actually really difficult to see in yourself.
Yes.
So we don't know that we're walking wrong.
As chiropractors, we're a bit obsessed about watching people walk. My husband gets quite annoyed when I say,
can you never switch off when you're out and about?
No. We're always looking at people's posture all the time because it's just a natural thing that we do when we've been taught sort of 4 or 5 years of analysing people's posture, looking at normal. It's very quickly you start to see an abnormal imbalance in problems there. And once or twice I have given people my card and said, you need to come and get that fixed because there's a problem there going on. So, I'm a bit obsessive about getting people as well as they can be.
I know, I do sometimes see people walking along and you can't help but notice one or both ankles are slightly twisted somehow. Surely you must know. Surely it must be painful. But I think part of the problem here is that the body is very good at adapting.
That's right. And if it's always been like that, if it's been like that since a very young age, then people don't really notice it. The body accepts that as normal. Mm. And then it's when you start to change and make those corrections that the body start to resist a little bit. And without the proper support and encouragement and appropriate exercises and possibly insoles or correct shoes, then people will very quickly slip back into their old habits again because it's easy. Well, as human beings, we like the easy option, don't we? And if it's comfortable to do that, resisting that alteration is quite hard work, and people have got to be mentally determined and supported to actually achieve that change.
But if through wearing the wrong shoes you put yourself in a slightly twisted posture and your body says, okay, you're twisted, I'm dealing with this, I'm going to pull this tendon, relax that muscle in order to balance it all out, so the body's dealing with the problem. Why do we then need to even worry about the shoes we're wearing?
Because the compensation can happen somewhere else, and then you can either cough or sneeze or lift the milk jug off the breakfast table and bang, your back goes somewhere. Everything collapses, you go into spasm, creates a lot of tension on the little soft discs, which are the little shock absorbers between the spine. They can easily rupture if they're in a sort of stressed state for long periods of time. The disc starts to crack and the nuclear material inside starts to ooze out, and then we end up with all sorts of horrible disc problems which can then press on the nerves, which end up with you giving you sciatica. Oh, I can go on and on.
You
and
can,
on.
Can't
yeah,
you?
I'm
you,
sorry.
Yeah, I'm starting to wince.
It's catastrophic, I'm afraid.
So, but the consequences then are significant, even if initially your body does a great job of dealing with the problem you're creating by wearing the wrong shoes, for example. The body does a great job of compensating, but there is a price to pay somewhere down the line, and that could be an unexpected spasm or locking up of the back.
We have a degree of what we call adaptation and compensation, but once that gets too much, then it starts overflowing, and that's when you start getting the symptoms. So we usually like to say, listen to your body whisper, don't wait for it to scream.
Nice. And what are those first whispers then? We've been particularly thinking about footwear and shoes. What's the first warning sign?
Little intermittent little aches and pains, little twinges. When you're doing your exercises at the gym, you're noticing sometimes that you perhaps can do an exercise one way, but you can't do it so well the other way. Perhaps if you're at yoga or Pilates, you think, I can really stretch really well to the right, but when I try and stretch to the left, there seems to be more of a resistance. So being aware of asymmetries within your system, being aware of small little twinges that will actually escalate as well, and looking at your posture, looking at wear and tear, looking at how your clothes hang on your body. Does it look like my arms are different lengths, or legs are hanging, trousers are hanging differently on my legs?
The soles and heels of your shoes may tell a story as well.
Well, they usually will do, yes. But as we mentioned earlier, the synthetic manufacturing of shoes these days, there's not so much wear. There's a lot more wear in them with the synthetic.
Okay.
But certainly, just pick up your kids' shoes, pick up your shoes, particularly your favourite shoes, and have a look at the wear pattern. See if those little chunks of tread on the shoe are asymmetrical. And sometimes you'll see that one side is more worn than the other. And that's a sign that there's some compensation going on there that you obviously have been unaware of.
Okay. Well, if you do notice odd aches and pains that seem to occur around about this time of year, it could be that you're putting your different summery shoes on. And Alex, as ever, thank you for some brilliant advice. And let's hope we've staved off a few aches and pains from listeners this afternoon.